International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor from hot Atlanta, Georgia. So grateful that you have joined me from all over the world. Let's see, from South America, from South Africa, from Canada, from Finland, from Paris, from the West Coast in the U.S., from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, from all over the world. And guess what? You know that if you are listening to this recording, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here. It is no accident. There is something that you need to hear. All you need is one word from God to really shift and change your life. One idea, one concept, one insight, one revelation about a principle or your life, and you can shift and change your life quickly. I believe that God is really accelerating things in our lives to make them happen quicker. So welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Well, how are you doing? Have you had a great week? It has been wonderful here in Atlanta. It is really summertime here. I don't know if summer has officially begun, but it feels like it. We call it Hot Atlanta because in the summer, for those international listeners, it gets really hot in Atlanta. And I'm just sitting here having a cup of Starbucks coffee, and it is so good and just really excited about talking to you today. Well, my very special guest today is Ms. Shelley Chapman. How many of you would be interested in releasing weight? And weight doesn't always mean body weight, but it might be the weights of your thinking or the weights of your mind. And so Shelley is going to be talking about food therapy, and really excited to have her. She is a food and body therapist, and she's going to teach us how we can really become free with food. And she has a private practice where she helps primarily women deal with their weight management, and she's going to be really talking about going inside to really make those things happen, because you know I say every week it is an inside job. Well, you know, interestingly enough, I've had a great week, and this week I spoke to some real estate agents, and you know, that industry has really changed and shifted. And so when the economy changes and shifts, then guess what? You have to change and shift. And that's why I always say success is on the inside, that no matter what is happening, no matter how you feel, no matter, you know what is going on in your life, because you have shifted and changed on the inside, man, what's going on outside doesn't really change you. And so I give you one tip a week that I am doing, or that I have my clients doing, or that I have had my 10,000 clients do in their lives, which really works for them. Remember, you are every day operating in universal principles. So what I want to talk to you quickly tonight is the one principle that I want you to implement this week is to understand that your inner issues impact or affect your success. And all of these people in real estate, you know, they used to make millions of dollars. And then when the real estate industry crashed a couple of years ago, they were in such fear. And many of them admitted because they had not dealt with the inside. So what I mean by that, I feel that the number one thing that people really need to do is to deal with their soul. Your soul is your will. It's where your memories are, your mind, your emotions, your identity, your temperament. And so when you have not dealt with your soul, when crisis on the outside or your circumstances on the outside happen, you are making choices from a wounded soul. So I am just so fanatical about dealing with your past. Now, I'm not the kind of therapist that believes that you have to, you know, stay in the past. I'm not the kind of therapist that just believes that you just have to dwell on the past. No, we're going to visit it. We're not going to even unpack our bags. But you have to, because you have a hole in your soul, which impacts your success. So many people want to start with starting a business. No, go inside, change your inner soul, heal your inner soul, and then from that place, you would be able to really live a phenomenal and create a phenomenal life. Because when you don't, there are so many issues which impact your success, like your childhood issues, your belief systems around what you can feel, do, and have, your family role systems. That's a major one. You know, there are so many family roles that we take into adulthood. Mine was the hero child. That means that I was really a performance-based person, or you might be what we call the lost child, which means that you're quiet, you don't really share, you're isolated, and all of those things really impact your success, your memories, your will, your desire. And so what happens is you try to attain success because you're not going inward, and then what happens? You feel powerless. You start a goal, but then you stop it. Why? Because you feel powerless. And so I guess the emphasis that I really want to share with people, and that I shared with those group of people, many of whom were millionaires, identify and deal with your inner issues, which really impact your success. And one way you can do that, not the only way, is to get my book, Secrets of Success. Almost everyone in that room purchased my book. Why? Because I have 25 years experience. And man, I think I have coached or counseled over 10,000 clients. I think I've lost the count on that one. And I believe that my niche, the niche that God has given me, is to help people deal with the inside, heal the inside, and then create strategic steps and projects to move them from where they are. And so in my book, I do that. I teach you how to heal your inner wounds. And then I teach you how to really create the life of your dreams. Because when you have clarity about who you are, when you are clear and you are healed and you begin to make choices from a healed soul instead of a wounded soul, then your choices, your clarity, your focus is so clear and success comes quickly. And so I teach you how to do that. I have a whole chapter just on goal setting, how to create your dream team, you know, how to really understand the garden of possibility, which is what is possible in your life, how to create a wow, which is 1 week, W-O-W, within 1 week, what can you do? How to stop talking about it, and then how to start doing it from a healed place. And it's only, I think, about $12.95. Aren't you worth $12.95? And this is what I tell people. If you cannot, I'm not going to say afford, if right now your lifestyle does not allow you to coach with me, then get the first two. So much healing could come to you quickly. So much money will come to you quickly, because once you heal your soul, money, love, and everything else begins to come to you. I have a client who just started in February, and she lives in Australia, and I call her my client who really will be creating a very posh lifestyle, and I use that word just quite affectionately because she always uses that word, and I'm like, we don't use that word posh much in the U.S., and so her life has changed so quickly just from doing the work that's in the book. And so you are worth the investment. Go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Just take a look at all of the testimonies of people who I've coached. And just like those real estate agents, those millionaires did this week, purchase that book. I think it's $12.95. I can't remember. You can download it right now. And by this time next week, within 1 week, your life could have drastically shifted and changed. Well, I'm so excited about the show, and I want you to stay tuned, and I'm going to be right back with Miss Shelley Chapman.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Well, I am back, and I am so excited about the show today, and how many of you would be interested in releasing some extra pounds? I know in the U.S., you know, the summer's here, and we want to wear our bikinis, but how many of you just want to be healthier? Well, today I have a very special guest, Miss Shelley Chapman, and Shelley is a food and body therapist at Body Food Freedom, which is a private practice for women, and I'm sure men too, who struggle with waste and weight management. And she just has a phenomenal background. Can you believe this? She graduated from Harvard with a master's degree in human development and psychology, but then she set out on this great journey, this great adventure. She quit her job. She healed her battle with compulsive overeating disorder, and she released 57 pounds. And on that journey, she has learned so many secrets, so many principles around food and weight release, and she and I have a very interesting story, which we're going to share. And so if you know of anyone right now who is struggling with their weight, or they might have an eating disorder, and an eating disorder could mean not eating enough, or maybe they're just trying to release those extra pounds so they can be healthier, make sure you call them right now and let them know about the show. So, Miss Shelley Chapman, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that lovely introduction, Constance.
Well, it's nothing but the truth, and I tell you what, you and I have a very interesting history, a very interesting background. I'm going to tell my part, and then you tell your part, okay? In 2009,
sure.
I fell, and I broke my ankle, and I was in such despair and probably frustrated and a little depressed, and I had just moved into a new home, three stories. And I said, okay, I know one thing that will really help me to heal quicker would be to eat healthier. And I said, okay, God, what should I do? Lying in my bed, my doctor said, Constance, you cannot put any weight on your ankle for 3 months. So I decided, or at least the Spirit spoke to me and said, put an ad in Atlanta Craigslist about a personal chef. Hire you a personal chef who can come in and prepare you healthy food. And so I put that ad in Craigslist, and Shelley, I'll let you take over now.
So on said day, I love this story. So I was actually at a point in my life where I was ready for a change, and I wasn't exactly sure what it was going to look like. I just knew I needed it. And, you know, as the universe always does, whenever I commit to saying that I'm ready to change, the universe always sends me a knock or a nudge or, you know, a point in the right direction. And so my mother calls me on this particular day and she says, hey, you should watch Oprah. And I said, okay. And she never calls me to tell me to watch anything. So I watch Oprah, and Oprah said a lot in that show that said, you know what, Shelley, it's time. So that was my sort of universal nudge. And I've been wanting to leave my job and become a personal chef at the time. I was really into food, and I wanted to share, and I had no idea how to do it. And so I decided, you know what, I'm not going to wait anymore. Let me go on Craigslist and see if there's anyone who's looking for a personal chef. And sure enough, I come across Constance's ad, and I responded immediately because she was the way the ad was structured was that there was a valuable exchange between Constance and I. Constance was looking for someone to heal her through food, which is something I knew how to do. And I was looking for somebody to heal me through words, which is what Constance knew how to do. And so we created this beautiful barter where I provided healing through food for Constance, and Constance provided healing through life coaching for me. And that's how we got started.
And that's so amazing. And the principle that I just want to share about synchronicity and how God really brings resources into your life was that the Spirit spoke to me, but also Shelley was led by the Spirit on that same day. And so we bartered, and I said, okay, I'll do personal coaching with you, and she prepared some of the most wonderful food that I've ever eaten in my life. And as a matter of fact, my friends would come over and beg for your food. I'm like, wait a minute, what is wrong with this picture? You know, and I'm the one that's on crutches. And so we met, and our relationship evolved, and then I got well, and then we didn't talk for 4 or 5 years, and then just this week I felt led to have you on the show, because when I saw your picture, I mean, my God, I could not believe how much weight you had released. So share with our listening audience all over the world tonight just a little bit about your journey.
Sure. So it starts for me in 1996, where I experienced a situation that was traumatic for me at home, which was my parents' divorce. I grew up in a family where I thought we were like the Cosbys. Mm-hmm. So that divorce was never something that I expected. It definitely surprised me when it was announced. And it was really hard for me, and I didn't have the tools to deal with it. And so I turned to the very thing that I've always loved to give me that comfort back, which was food. So I would spend every afternoon after school, for sure, and whatever moments in between, eating Oreos, Cheetos, Doritos, and brown sugar Pop-Tarts. Those are my drug of choice. And it was something I did in secret. I didn't know that it was that I had an eating disorder, or that, you know, it was a problem. I knew that it didn't necessarily feel good. I knew that I was eating differently than before. And over the years, that behavior continued. The food that I took in changed. I've eaten every menu possible on a binge. But as time went on, my body started to change as well. And I was never at a weight where the outside world would consider that I was too big. So I didn't get feedback in the sense of, oh, you know, you need to lose weight, or you're gaining too much weight, or I never necessarily got that. But I could feel how lonely and deprived I was inside, even though I was eating all of this food. And it was a hard place to be in because my body, even though I felt different in it, it didn't physically show up that different in the outside world. It was even more, there was more distance between me and the world. So I didn't feel like I had anyone to talk to, because there was no one even noticing what was happening. And so after 2001, September 11th, actually, I was at NYU doing an exchange. The towers came down that semester, and that just opened up all the pain and rage and frustration inside of me. And so I started going to therapy, group therapy, for women at NYU who are suffering from eating disorders. And so there are a lot of women who go through this silently and by themselves. And being in a group therapy and hearing everyone's experience really made me commit to healing. I didn't want myself to go through it anymore, and I didn't want another woman to go through it neither, as long as, you know, I could share my story and my journey and my path of how healing is completely possible. And so fast forward over the next few years, I started experimenting with different dietary lifestyles, vegan, vegetarian, raw food, flexitarian, and each one taught me something different. And so during that time, I was really exploring my culinary side because I love cooking. I love food. And I just started listening to food. I just started listening to the wisdom that was naturally in food. And when I talk about the wisdom, what I'm saying is that food is alive. It's oftentimes we're accustomed, especially here in the United States, we're accustomed to eating devitalized food like chips, you know, like the cookies that are baked and packaged for like a year and a half before they're sold to you. So, you know, that happens, but there's also an entire gamut of food that's completely alive and it has energy that can go into your body and heal you, like fresh produce, you know, these sort of things. And so when I was going through the different dietary lifestyles, I was acquiring this knowledge and noticing how it felt in my body. And I was actually able to keep off some weight. But my emotions were still there. Life was still happening. And so when life would happen, I would always sort of skyrocket back up because I didn't have the tools to help me deal with the emotions that came with the stress. And so I got on this serious yo-yo. And the final straw for me was in 2012. I found myself at 177 pounds. That was the largest weight. I'm 5'2". That was the largest weight that I'd ever carried in my life. And I just remember waking up and feeling like I was trapped in a body that I did not love, and I didn't want to wake up to that feeling anymore. And so in 2012, I said, all right, you know how to eat. You know, you've studied every dietary lifestyle. This is not about the food. This is about you and how you feel. So what we're going to do is we're going to get with our feelings, and we're going to take some time to just go in. It will be scary, not a problem. I will walk you through it. This is what I remember spirit telling me as right. I'm going through this. And, you know, there are going to be spaces that you haven't seen in a while. There are going to be some places that you haven't visited. There are going to be some people that you've yet to discover that have been inside of you. And that journey, it took about a year, between a year and a half to go through. And it was oh my God, it was one of the most freeing experiences I've ever been through. You know, we're not taught to like look at our insides and navigate that landscape. We're taught to look outside all the time, and that's what affirms you, that's what creates you, that's what, you know, makes you who you are. And being inside, I just fell in love with myself. Through the healing, I fell in love with myself. I saw how resilient I was, number one. For a lot of women who struggle with food and eating disorders or disordered eating, you know, when you look at what she goes through, there's a resiliency there, that she's still alive, that she's still, you know, I'm trying her best to get through this. And so I saw the parts of me that needed serious addressing. Like if I didn't address it now, you know, I would continue to experience the same stuff that I didn't want to experience anymore. So there were a lot of changes. Relationships in my outside life changed. There were relationships that I had to say goodbye to, walk away from. Even some relationships left me, which is to be expected because when you change, things change, you know. And then there were relationships that I got into, like new ones that I created for myself, new ones that I encountered. The way that I thought, the way that I showed up with my work, the way that I showed up with people, everything just changed. And so my body was the last reflection of that. those internal.
So true.
Yeah.
You know, that is so true. And, you know, you're sharing a principle that I just want to reiterate, which is I say this every Sunday, Shelley, that it is an inside job. And once you go in and you do the work, which people don't love that part, but once you go in and actually do the work and you shift and change, then your outside would be an exact replica of that. And so here you are, a Harvard graduate, a master's degree. I know how smart you are personally. And you were struggling. So for someone who's listening tonight who may be struggling with their weight, may not love their body, may feel unhealthy, what are some first steps that people can take? What should they do? What should they be thinking, et cetera?
The first step is to be honest about how you feel. We spend a lot of time masking our feelings or covering them up, and it's to be understood, especially when you grow up in a society that says, hey, you have a headache, take this pill. Hey, you have a stomachache, drink this pink stuff. And so instead of asking, well, why is this issue there in the first place, we cover it up to make ourselves feel better. So being honest about how you feel about your life, about where you are, about what it is that you truly want. You know, there are a lot of feelings locked up in our desires that we, especially as women, that we'll deny ourselves. And so it's very freeing to say, hey, I want this experience, or hey, I want to talk to that person, or hey, I want to do this thing and be okay with it. So that honesty, when you're honest and you see and understand fully how you feel, then it changes how you behave with yourself. And so the next thing is to really look at what is it that you like food-wise. A lot of times when women want to lose weight, the first thing that they do is they restrict themselves to a diet.
So true. Who wants to eat bananas all day?
You know? I mean, I just have this saying that I say, you know, I am not going to sacrifice taste for the sake of my health. I just won't, because that to me is unhealthy. How something tastes matters. You know, that's how it's. Your taste buds are full of wisdom. They can communicate to you whether or not the food is good for you, if it's right for you, before it even gets into your body. Your taste buds can communicate that. That's how you know if something's rotten or not. So how things taste and how they make you feel matters. And if you're a woman who uses food as a way to deal with your issues, then the food being a part of that process of healing is important, because you have to eat anyways. And so being honest and honoring your taste buds, number two. And then three is, this was the most challenging for me, but making the daily. It's a daily commitment. It's a daily commitment to be present with your food.
What does that mean?
Mealtime, we're on Instagram, checking social media, checking email. Maybe we're talking to our families or to our friends. Maybe we're watching TV. But whatever we're doing, generally, the attention is on everything else but the food that's going into your body. And like I was saying in the beginning, that food has wisdom, especially if it's live food, like, you know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, that sort of thing. And that food speaks to you. How you feel when you eat it matters. The food is communicating in that sense. And so if you miss out on the cues that you get when you're eating, like a hunger cue, like a full cue, you know, like this is actually too much cue, you know, whatever that is, it gives you an opportunity to listen to those cues. And what listening to your body while you're eating and listening to the food while you're eating it does, it teaches you to be with yourself. It shows you that being inside is a safe place to be. It's a place that can guide you for the outside. And so it's like a daily meditation. You're eating anyway, so why not at least one meal a day, turn it into a meditation, and just be with yourself through the food.
So I know you had mentioned to me just prior to the call about how you invite God in with your eating and your food. What did you mean by that? What does that mean?
It's growing up, I went to like daycare, and we'd have my parents would drop me off early, and we'd have breakfast before we'd go off or whatever activities, or they'd drop us off at school, and we had to say this prayer. And I only remember part of it. God is good. God is great. Thank you, God, for the food on my plate. It was something like that. But I remember saying it. And all we were doing was reciting. It was like saying the Pledge of Allegiance or, you know, repeat after me. Like, it was that flow. And so I just remember being like, that's weird. We're praying, but it doesn't feel, I don't feel connected. So I'd stopped praying for a long time. I would just eat. And when I committed to this journey in 2012, one of my daily practices was having a green drink. Every morning I'd start off, that was the first thing before breakfast. Green drink, get ready, then have breakfast. And that green drink was my communion with God. And so I would speak into the drink anything that I wanted to heal, anything that I needed assistance in changing. If I woke up, you know, sometimes you wake up from a dream where you just wake up unsettled and, you know, you're thinking it'll be gone by the time you're up and it's still there. You know, I'd put that in there and I would let, because greens are alive and they're coming inside of my body. It's chlorophyll, you know, it's liquid sunlight and I'm taking this in. And so it's already divine in itself. And I wanted to make sure that I was giving it the instruction, so to speak, that so that when it went inside of me, I could get those answers I was looking for. So that's what it feels like. It just feels like a revelation with God when I'm drinking the greens.
Well, that's powerful. I drink a green drink every day, and I love it when you say you gave it direction. You heal my body. You cleanse me. You detox me. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so for someone, male or female, who might say, okay, Shelley, that sounds good, but I am under so much stress at work, and then I am a single mom or a single dad having to come home and deal with my children. How can people deal with stress and food? Because usually when people are stressed, we do go to food.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is I'm not at all saying don't go to food. And I know that that's sort of like taboo, right? It's especially if you're trying to heal from an eating disorder eating like myself. I remember in traditional therapy, food sort of being, I don't want to say demonized. That's a strong word, but I don't know what other word to use.
I understand.
So for me, the challenge was, hey, if my challenge is food, that has to be part of the therapy. I have to come to terms with food, and that's how it's going to work for me. And so stress is a natural part of life. It's a natural part of life. It's the universe's way of presenting opportunities for you to grow. The mindset of how you see stress, the mindset of how you decide that you and your health and your healing is important, your body is the only avatar that you have to get through this life. And so if your body isn't well, then how you're able to live isn't well. And I have seen women go through this process, with me especially, who have children, who have husbands, who have stressful jobs, and it is about committing to yourself first. And when you commit to yourself first, everything else falls into place. For whatever reason, seen or unseen, the job works itself out, where maybe the boss who is giving you way too much work decides to switch assignment and give a little bit more to the other person who could help you out. You know, maybe the issues you were having at home with your husband, they start to sort of fix themselves as well. But the more that you fix yourself and heal yourself inside, the more you'll see the outside world change as well. So it starts with you. And so stress will be there. But again, you just have to commit to yourself and to this healing.
So you mentioned healing. So what else could people do who are listening today? What are some techniques, or what are some therapies, or what are some insight or revelation that they could do to begin to heal themselves?
As we mentioned earlier, I'm a food and body therapist, and one of the therapies that I offer is it's a tasting therapy. And essentially, when food is your major challenge, you're typically drawn to, especially if you're an emotional eater, you're drawn to several tastes or textures. And those different tastes, like sweet, salty, or texture, like chewy, creamy, these different tastes and these different textures, they mean something for you. And that meaning is generally what you're trying to get a hold of or what you're trying to get a grasp of, and you just haven't quite figured it out. And so because for me, food has to be a part of the therapy. You can't take it away in the therapy itself. We essentially break bread and we get breakthroughs. So that's one of the therapies that is extremely efficient in helping women heal from the issues that are keeping them prisoner to the refrigerator.
And so what is your take on sugar? And why do you think that people are so addicted to sugar? Because sugar and sweets, it is comforting, it's nurturing. Is that what you mean, that people go to sugar and sweets because they feel that it's going to comfort and nurture them?
Exactly. So sugar itself is chemically addictive.
Yeah.
So the actual structure of it, physically, your body will create that dependency on it. So if you've ever tried or known anyone who's removed sugar from their diet, like they actually go through the withdrawal symptoms as if they're removing another type of drug. And so it's a legal drug. So that's the physical part. But yes, we crave certain things because of how we feel. And so needing the comfort, wanting to sort of feel better, wanting to escape something that feels bad. And so you eat something sweet like a cupcake or, you know, having the creaminess of the ice cream is very maternal, so it can make you feel mothered. There are different foods that make us feel different ways. And those feelings are pointing to something that's unresolved. Especially if you're a person that struggles with food.
Right. And I always say food is a relationship. It's so interesting. I was thinking about the first temptation in the Bible was not the first temptation, but Jesus, how Jesus was tempted with food and how food has always just played such an integral part of our lives. And I love it that you said that you don't take food out of the equation, because unlike Alcoholic Anonymous, you know, where you can't drink anymore, you had to remove that. You have to eat food to sustain your body. So tell me about your thinking. How did your thinking change, and how would the thinking of people who are listening today, how does that thinking need to change around food and weight release, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. So when I really started thinking about the food I was eating, it was also at the same time that spiritually I was in search of something deeper. And so I had recently discovered meditation and yoga, belly dance, and law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
and tantra as well. And so when I started really learning and understanding the energy of things, of nature, and how it affects us and how we're energy ourselves and how we can affect, that's where a lot of that thinking started. And the other piece of it was I wanted to be around. I didn't want to transition because I didn't take care of my body. If I'm transitioning, I wanted to be another reason, not because Shelly didn't do what she was supposed to do to take care of her body. And so I started seeing the body as a really, really intelligent being. And, you know, when you talk about, like, body, mind, and spirit, I used to, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't quite understand what that meant. But the more and more that I went through these processes, I started communing with those parts of myself. I would spend time in my mind. I would spend time in my spirit. I would spend time in my body. And when I spent time in my body, I started listening to it. I started understanding what was hurting, you know, like, oh, my knees were getting tight. Maybe this is something that happens when after 30, you know, like these different things that were happening. And I said, okay, well, how can I feed you? How can I heal you? What do you need for you to feel better? And so my diet started changing. And so I still love to eat pancakes and French toast for breakfast and cupcakes. And I love junk food. I do. I'm not even going to lie. However,
what kind of food, Shelly?
Junk food. I said I love
junk food.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, but junk food doesn't love me. And because I love myself, I can't be with something that doesn't love me back. So deciding to say, okay, if I'm going to have a hamburger, because I love hamburgers, how can I make it healthier? So I started learning how to make veggie burgers. You know, I started using organic greens and organic tomatoes because I realized what pesticides were doing to food. And even though my body, I haven't seen the effects of it, I was seeing the cancer in other people. And so it just became a constant conversation between myself and my body. What do you need? And mealtime, again, I have those two rules. It has to taste good. You know, I don't agree that you should eat, you know, nasty food or just bland food for the sake of being on a diet. I think that food is a gift and it should be enjoyed. So it had to taste good, but it also had to be good for me. And that was a huge shift in my thinking.
And so, Shelley, for someone who's listening tonight, what about how often should you eat, and should you only eat organic? Do you eat three meals a day? What should a person do? Because it sounds like that you're coming more from a position of fueling and loving and nurturing your body rather than just eating three meals a day like we're told we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. You know, that three meals a day works because of the way the society is set up. You wake up, everyone goes to work, and then everyone takes lunch at the same time, and everybody goes back to work, and then you can all have dinner. And so it's not set up for the health of the human being. It's set up to make sure that everyone can go and do the work that they need to do for the society. So I listen to my body. I let it tell me when I'm supposed to eat, how often I'm supposed to eat. For example, when I'm on my cycle, I don't eat the same at all. I eat very differently, but my body is going through a major change right then during that week. So it's not going to require the same type of food or the same amount, et cetera. So I honestly believe that you should listen to your body. And this is why I say the mindful eating exercise, because I was in that eating three times a week because that's how I was trained to eat. And so when I started doing the mindful eating techniques, even during my three times of a day eating, it helped me open up more and begin to expand the conversation that I was having, you know, with food in my body. And so I cannot stress enough how important it is to just listen to your body and let it tell you what it needs. There's so much wisdom inside of there, and it knows what it needs to sustain itself and what it needs to feed itself. And so to answer the second part, you said, should you eat organic? The answer is yes. There was a time when everything was organic. You know, my mother's from Jamaica, and she always laughs. She's like, you know, there's no such a thing. Like, growing up, everything was quote-unquote organic because
right.
Who would dare put, you know, poison on our food supply? Your body is made up of the food that you eat. So if you're eating poison all the time, what does that make you, you know? So when I started learning about organic and even, you know, seeds and Monsanto, the company, and what they do with seeds, I was like, this is insane. But what's also that is insane is that I don't have a budget to handle this type of lifestyle, you know? So organic can be extremely expensive if you don't have the money. It's not expensive if you have the money, but if you don't have the money, it can be a problem. So I went online, did some research, and I found that it's called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So if you Google that, Dirty Dozen, Clean 15, organic food, and it's a listing of the things that you absolutely should always buy organic, like berries, apples, things that are porous that your hands will, that you eat the entire thing, that you should definitely buy organic because if it's sprayed with a pesticide, it's absorbing it. And so it's not only outside, but it's inside as well, at least at a deeper level. And then the Clean 15 were fruits and vegetables that have like a casing or covering, maybe like a banana or like an onion, something that grows on the ground. But I highly recommend that if you can get everything organic, just do it, you know, just do it until society catches up and decides that this is a priority for every human being, not those who can afford it, then, you know, maybe you'll be better then. But for now, just, you know, take the extra caution if you can and just do it.
Okay, what about visualization? You know, maybe someone listening has so much weight that they desire to release, and they're just thinking, it seems too overwhelming. What role did visualization, or what role does visualization have you know, without really loving our bodies and releasing weight?
You know what? I really didn't use visualization in my process. I'm going to tell you what happened. I tried to. I created a vision board, and what I did is I took body pieces, right? So I found breasts, I found a stomach, I found legs, I found shoulders, like literally body pieces, and I made this collage of what I thought I wanted to look like. Mm-hmm. And then when I said, okay, well, this is going to be great because it'll just suggest to me, to my subconscious, I'll take it in from thinking this whole process will work for me. And what would happen is I just kept seeing myself in pieces. I kept seeing myself in pieces because that body was in pieces and it wasn't mine. It was other people's bodies that I thought would work out. And the truth is I had to visualize myself, you know, so I had to look at myself. And so I didn't use a vision board for this process. I use a mirror that, so, you know, if we want to take visualization to that aspect, then sure. But I used the mirror and I sit in front of the mirror every single morning when I woke up. I stand in front of the mirror naked and I look at myself. And when I first started, I had to find a part that I loved because I had been stuck in a body that I didn't love for so long. So I had to find a part that I love, and I'd find that part and I'd love it up. And then I go get ready, you know, for the day. And I do this exercise every single morning. I had a full length mirror in my room. And finally that part just kind of grew and it became more parts until it just became the whole. And it wasn't when I was 120 pounds when I got to that point. It was around 145 pounds when I said, yeah, I actually love my whole self now. But a lot of that, again, just had to do with the inner work that I was doing as well.
Right. And what other principles would you like to share around weight release and body image and eating?
Wow. That's a loaded question.
I know it is. You know, I know it is because, you know, it's so much involved in it. And I love it when we talked about food therapy and the fact that we're going to food instead of loving and nurturing and caring for ourselves. And so I know a lot of people, I'm asking questions for my audience. I know a lot of people might be saying, well, you know, I live in another country and I might not can afford coaching. What else can they begin to do? I know you talked about mindfulness and you talked about going in, you know, doing their own inner healing. Would you say that as you go in and do the healing that it will be revealed to you what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat and you will have the strength to do that?
So what I'm saying is you mentioned that instead of going to love and nurturing and wholeness, we're going to food. And what I'm saying is that we're going to food without that. And so the food, the eating experience becomes devalued because the values that we're bringing to the food experience when we're eating, we're rushing, we're stressed, we're worried, we're anxious. Our brain is focused on all these other things that put us in an emotion, you know, that doesn't suit our best self. And so when you're eating, I'm saying that you're going to bring energy to your food anyways, because that's just part of the process. Like when you eat, you're not sitting there just being a blank slate. You're filled with stuff already. So when you come to the table and you sit down, make sure that you're bringing the energy of love, the energy of forgiveness, the energy of openness, the energy of care, the energy of worth. And when you bring that energy, it also changes what's on your plate. And so, you know, when you think about if you see yourself as a person of worth, as a person of value, as a person of love, as a person of respect, what does that person eat? You know, that's the question that you begin to ask yourself. What do I eat? And look at what's on your plate now. What are you eating? Because, you know, the saying, you are what you eat, is true. And it's not just about the physical piece of it, but energetically, you know, what are you bringing to your food that you're then taking back in? And either repurposing yourself or repoisoning yourself, you know. So that mindset is really important. And it affects how you shop. It'll affect everything else. But if you start with that process, you know, the body is incredibly wise. I keep saying that. I can't say it enough. The food is incredibly wise. I can't say that enough. And if you just silence yourself, just censor yourself, just to start it, when the next time you eat, just sit down with your food, turn off the TV. If you like, light a candle. And do this by yourself. It's best if you do it by yourself if you can, just at least for the first few times so you get into the hang of it and you can do it with other people. But just silence everything and just take the first bite, put your fork down, and just chew. And as you're chewing, just feel what's happening inside of your mouth. Don't swallow in a rush. Swallow when it feels most natural to do so. And just taste everything there is to taste. Feel everything there is to feel, and then go on to your next bite. And as you're going through it, things will come to you. Things will come up. It you know, God speaks through the food. That's been my experience, not just my experience, but the woman that I've worked with who's come through the process as well, through the therapy. So start there and see what happens for yourself.
And so do you only eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're full?
I would say 90% of the time, but okay. There are times where I'm very conscious that I'm eating socially. You know, if I go to a party and there's food and I want to try it, I don't give myself a hard time about, oh, you're not hungry or you shouldn't, it's after six, because it's not something I do on a regular basis. You know, like that would be a problem if I was doing it on a regular basis, but it's a different type of eating. So it's social, it's there, but when I'm there, I'm not gorging myself. You know, I'm literally tasting and moving on because it's part of the social experience.
You know, that's so true. So what's your take on fast food? You know, I noticed.
We want to go there. Go ahead.
Right,
let's go.
Right. Because someone said that organic food has a higher vibration, which I know it does. So what's your take on fast food and people who say, I'm so busy, and they go through and get French fries and a burger? What does that say?
Yeah. Fast food is devitalized. I would call them fast edibles, fast food-like edibles. That's even a better word because a lot of it isn't even food. If you've ever seen Super Size Me, then you know that he bought a hamburger and a french fries from McDonald's, and a year later, it still wasn't decayed. So it looked almost as good as it did when he bought it.
Wow.
What does it say about you? But you know what it says about you. Think about it. If this food has no nutrients in it, if all it does is just fill you, just literally fill you so you don't have to feel the hunger that's really there. If it's fast and it's quick and it's easy and you really don't have time, but your body is made up of what it is you eat, then ask yourself, what does that say about you? What does it say about your willingness to invest in your own health? What does it say about your ability to demonstrate care for yourself? What does it say about your ability to, oh, God, there's so many things.
Right.
There's so many things.
You know, just to take the time to, when I juice every day and I drink that juice, it's just like life. Mm-hmm. Is coming in me. And so you have a practice. And so talk about your practice and how can people contact you, et cetera.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning earlier, I work specifically with women. I know you mentioned men earlier, Constance, and men will come to me all the time. And
So you work with women only?
I work with women only for now, but that might expand later down the road. We'll see. But basically, if your weight is an issue, then come and I will help you. If you are looking at your waistline and it is gone so many different sizes, if you have, you know, in your closet a wardrobe for three different versions of you, we need to talk. And if food is a challenge for you, you know, like if you're always struggling in your head about what to eat and what not to eat, you know, if you're feeling bad all the time about what you ate, but you love it so much that you're struggling in that way, come, I can help you. So, if you're on social media, then you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Shelly Wellness. And, to log on to the website, you would go to bodyfoodfreedom.com. And when you come, you can either join the mailing list and subscribe, or if you're interested in any of the services that I offer, then you can go ahead and we'll talk about those as well.
Well, you know, Shelly, I haven't talked to you in 5 years, and when I saw your picture, and I've been reading your blogs and everything like that, I was very impressed, and I just truly feel in my heart and my spirit that you really have a gift where you can really help people and help people to really co-create the body that they desire to have. And that's why I really wanted to have you on the show. So I'm going to strongly encourage all of you to go to her website. I believe that she can really help you. I'm very inspired by her. She is really encouraging me to stay on my healthy path, and she shared some insight with me just in my private conversation. So you live in New York. Do you see people personally, or do you Skype, or how do you coach Shelly?
No, I do the therapy through Skype because okay. I have clients all over. So I live in Brooklyn, but we do everything online.
So in closing, what would you like to leave with people tonight, Shelly?
Well, first, let me say thank you to you.
You're so
thank
welcome.
You so much. I'm honored to be a part of the interview series. And I just want to encourage you to trust what's inside and to know that whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you're trying to access, whatever it is that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with, that's been a challenge and you just can't seem to get over, I want you to trust that the answer is there, the solution is there, and your healing is possible. Commit to yourself and, you know, find the space inside of you that always says yes to you and surrender to her because she will take you down the most divine path with the most amazing experiences and all of it for your betterment.
So true. Shelly Chapman, you are awesome and I love you so much. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. So grateful that you've joined me again. I'm on every Sunday. And, of course, I have over 260 archive shows that can motivate, inspire, and encourage you. And you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And, of course, my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Listen to this recording again and again, and I want you to contact Shelly. And remember that God loves you, I love you, and the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.